Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
Sarah Jane, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good. Level 5. I see you welcome the move. Why?
Well, I tell you, my situation has been unusual. I'm COVID positive for the last 14 days. Okay. And unfortunately, two of my children tested COVID positive as well alongside. Okay. My family have been in isolation. I have 6 children altogether.
Right.
And my family have been separated now for the last 2 weeks. We've had so much confusion and conflicting information given us by HSE. As much as they've been fantastic, but it's been conflicting. My situation now is my children are being retested today at 3 o'clock.
Okay.
If any of them were to be negative, we all go back into isolation again. So potentially my situation could be weeks of isolation.
And are you all, Sarah Jane, in the one house?
We're all in the one house, but separated. I've been in the sitting room for 14 days. My two children joined me then after they were tested positive. But that information has still failed to even get to the HSE because we're still getting text messages that my children have to be retested, the ones that were positive. And then when I was told that my daughter was positive, that the rest of my children were negative, lo and behold, the next day, the HSE rang us to ask us for contact tracing for my other son. I was like, no, my other son is negative. And they were like, no, he's not, but come back positive. So there was a lack of communication between the HSE and the testing. So my son had to join me in my isolation, but he was also then exposed to the other children for an extra 24 hours.
So who was living in the sitting room at the minute with you?
My 5-year-old daughter and my 10-year-old son. And the rest of my husband is working from home. And my eldest son, he's isolated in his bedroom. My other son, who's 13, he's isolated in his bedroom. And then I have two 10-year-old and an 8-year-old as well that are isolated and bless them in the extension together all day. Because my husband is trying to have his least contact with them because they were the two that were around my other 12-year-old son that then tested positive. So our fingers are crossed that my other two smaller children are not positive today, because if not, we are in... I don't even want to go there, to be honest with you. But,
because it keeps the quarantine period, keeps dominoing.
The HSE said that they can't keep this quarantine period if it was to keep going, because mentally and physically for the children, mentally more so, they're separated from me. You know, they can't go to school, they're not allowed around their friends. And they, like, as good as they've been, but like they need their mom, you know.
Of course, but and they're all in you're all in the one building, so to speak.
Yeah, we're all in the one building. Like, my husband knocks on the door in the morning, leaves the breakfast outside. I get it with a mask on. Then to get to the bathroom, we wear masks to go back and forward from the bathroom, and we let my husband know we've been in that area, and then no one else is allowed to pass through the hallway for a couple of hours. And we've done the best we can. And so far, so good. But as I said, like, it's just, as for level 5, and I see people, you know, and they're giving out, like, guys, there's a bigger picture here. You know, like, I only got flu-like symptoms, aches and pains, tiredness, and my children were non-symptomatic. So, but it's the vulnerable ones. Like, my father is 79. He was my biggest fear because I look after him as well.
Yeah.
And thank God he's been fantastic and he's great. No positive testing there. And no one that I came into contact either in my circle have been positive. So it's wear the gloves, guys. You know, I don't know, put the masks on, sanitize your hands, do what they're saying. And if level 5 is the worst to come out of this with your family, you're lucky.
And did you show symptoms, Sarah Jane?
Just flu-like symptoms, nothing. Okay. Like, I would have been on the 20th, I just felt like I had the flu. The 21st, I didn't take the kids to school because I couldn't actually physically get up. I was so tired. The 22nd, I was good again. Mm-hmm. But then the 23rd, I lost my sense of taste and smell. Wow. And I thought, oh, no, there we go. And I rang my GP and I isolated from that Wednesday, and I got my results on the Thursday. But my husband had to go and get all the testing arranged for my children and himself. I had no contact tracing from HSE. until the following. My husband.
So you did your own
testing.
You did your own.
We did it our own. Yeah, we had to do it all ourselves.
And where you mentioned your 19-year-old is in another part of the house, isolating in his bedroom. Is that a boy or young man or young woman?
I have five boys.
Five boys. Okay. The 19-year-old's isolating in their room, and how are they managing food, bathroom?
My husband again just knocks on the door. He gets the food, brings it in, and then leaves the plate outside. And then I bring the plates to the back of the house, wash them on the tap out the back. And my husband then leaves them there for 24 hours before he'll bring them back in. And I get water from the, you know, it's how we've done it, I don't know.
You're 10-year-old and you're 8-year-old.
Oh, bless them. They're isolated in the room on their own, and they're just like on their Xbox, or I come to the window and I talk to them every day, and they come out to the front and they talk to me through the window, or I ring them on their phone. And they, again, my husband eats with them.
Okay.
So they're not isolated fully on them. Like the most interaction he's had is with the two smaller ones. But at the same time, he's trying to keep a distance because he feels that if any of them was to be negative today or positive today, it would be the two smaller ones again, because they're non-symptomatic. So I suppose, like, my message is as well, like, to moms and dads out there, like, I've seen so much on Facebook recently about, oh, my God, my child got a COVID message. There's somebody positive in their school. The fear of God as a mother is in you for your children. But, like, they are... 85% of them will be non-symptomatic, thank God. But they are carriers, and that's your fear. So when in doubt, keep your kids out of school. But at the same time, don't have the fear of it when you get a message, because the likelihood of them contacting you from each other is very low. You know, but at the same time, be vigilant. And when in doubt, like, I took my kids out on the Monday, so none of the schools had to be, you know, tested or closed. You know,
that was
good. And my circle was really small. There was only four people to contact in my circle.
And how did you... So you rang them?
Yeah.
And said?
I tested positive.
And what was that like for you?
It was horrible. The shame. I've mentioned to your producer as well, the shame in making that phone call. And you can't
Why?
You just feel
it.
You just feel like, have I done something wrong? Did I not wash my hands enough? Did I not protect my children enough from it? Like, because you just feel it. And then you feel like you just feel like you've done something wrong. You know, you really do. Like, have I put so many other people in danger? And the first thing that came to my head was my father. God forbid, if I passed it to him, and like, he's got diabetes and things, and I was just like, oh my God, God forbid. And then, like, what did I do wrong? Like, but then you have to get into your head. I did everything that I possibly could to protect my children.
But the way things are falling, you're in isolation. I think the first date you mentioned is September 21.
I'm isolated since September the 21st.
Okay.
But I could have been out of my isolation. I'm not contagious, apparently, 10 days after your symptoms.
But if the two younger children test, come back positive for coronavirus today, you're then into another isolation period, aren't you? Everyone in the house.
Well, even if they come back negative, we still have 7 days more isolation. But I don't, or either do my other two children that are positive. They're free on Wednesday. I was free last Wednesday from my contagious period, but I chose to stay with my two smaller ones in the sitting room, obviously. But they told me I was able to go in and out of the room.
Okay.
But I didn't think that was logical, because it could be still on my clothes. And, you know, I hope my other children or my husband or my rest of my family, and then
how do you divide up a living room between three of you? Now, I know people have lived, unfortunately and tragically, in smaller units. But how do you divide up the space in your sitting room, given that you're there 24/7 with yourself and your two children?
Well, I'm in the sitting room, and there's two doors out into the kitchen and two doors out into the hall, so they're constantly closed with towels underneath them. And then my husband, the kids obviously have to come down past the room to get to the other side of the house for the isolation for them.
Yeah.
So when they pass through, they just let me know they're coming down, and I make sure everything is still closed off. They go into their to the extension on the back, and they stay there then for the whole
That's
day.
That's the 10-year-old and an 8-year-old.
Yeah, on their, yeah, they
and
stay
where,
there.
But where does the 5-year-old and the other
they
child...
They sit in the sitting room with me. Yeah.
And where do they sleep?
There. They sleep on a mattress on the ground.
Okay.
I sleep on the couch beside them, and my husband left in a mattress for them on the ground. And they've been in there now since last week and continue to be in there now until Wednesday or Thursday.
And how is the eldest getting on upstairs? Have you been talking?
he's cracking up. Yeah. You know, he was to start college and things, and he hasn't been able to start. And, you know, but he's doing what he's been told to do, and he knows there's no choice. We don't have, like, we can't be responsible for anyone else catching it from us. But as I said, I'm not contagious anymore.
Yeah.
My children won't be contagious from Wednesday, but the other end of the house that have never been positive, they still have another 7 days of isolation. But we can interact now with each other if my two youngest one comes back negative today.
Hopefully.
So, you know, it's been tricky. Yeah. It's been tricky. But the kids have adapted to the situation, and they're so aware of COVID now.
And Sarah Jim, what did you say to me at one stage earlier? You don't know how you've done it.
No.
You don't know where you got the strength from and the perseverance from.
Yeah, it's a bit like to sit in a room for 14 days is pretty hard.
Oh.
How did you pass?
I know you have two children with you, but how did you pass the time?
TikTok.
Okay.
X's and O's, because I didn't want to bring the kid toys into the room, because we didn't want to infect the toys, just in case, God forbid. You know, because there's so much conflicting stories out there that we really don't know how it's passed. Realistically, like if my daughter touches her doll, like, and then she brings it
You're supportive of level five, going to level five.
I'm supportive of vulnerable people safe.
Yeah, but what do you think? There's an effort of saying level five with enforcement. Now, I don't know what that. I don't know how they're going to enforce it. I don't know how. Because we had level three without enforcement, and now we're going to level five with enforcement. Why didn't we have, some people are saying, why didn't we have level three with enforcement?
I think at the end of the day, if Ireland and as a nation, we're not all in this together, it doesn't matter what level we go to. Because as long as there's people that are out on the streets protesting with no masks and think that this is really just, you know, a figure of speech, as in it's not real or it's not as bad as people are saying it is, until we all get united again as we were at the beginning, sending us to level five will make no difference. I'm here, mother of six, separated from our children for 2 weeks, you know, living with the symptoms. This is real. And unless we all get on the same page, it's not going anywhere.
But people are saying, you see, did the social cohesion break down? And the only way social cohesion, which is almost an oxymoronic way of saying it, the only way social cohesion can be enforced is by being enforced. Like, there was close to 1,000 people, anti-maskers, marched down Grafton Street, one of the busiest streets in the country, breathing on everyone, as well as each other, of course, on Saturday without a buy or leave.
Yeah.
And shop workers were going berserk that they were going to be contaminated.
Absolutely. But those people are now going to go home to their loved ones. And as much as they think that they're invincible, nobody is invincible from this, believe me. I had the sanitizer, I had the mask, I had everything that I was told to do. I did it. There is no one invincible from this disease. And if you think you are, you're very, very silly. And you'll have to live with passing it on to your loved ones or hearing that someone that you love has died from it just because you want to get back to your life. We all want to get back to our life. Believe me, there's no one that wants to get back to it more than I do. But if I'm coming out of my sitting room today and entering level five, that's what we have to do. It's what we have to do.
Okay. Well, Sarah Jenny, I really hope I know it's your family home, and I know you can manage to communicate even in the most bizarre ways with your children, but that's what's been forced on you. But it sounds like a prison you're in. It really does.
It is. It has been, and it continues to be for the next few days. Like, if it wasn't for the goodness of, like, my friend and things like that, you know, dropping off food and things like we wouldn't, I don't know where we would be. But nobody else wants to see themselves like in situations like I've had to do with the last 2 weeks. And I just find out my husband, he's just been absolutely amazing keeping everybody
I hope he's a good cook, is he?
Listen, can I just say, he's good, but I need to get back into the kitchen at some stage.
What are you living on, scrambled eggs or something?
Oh, you took the words out of my mouth, fried eggs. He did a roast chicken now on Sunday and things. Right. So we won't starve. That's the least of our problems. I will say, as I said before, like to mums and dads out there, like, you know, when you hear that your kid is in the school, you know, don't panic too much.
Don't be vigilant. And you were vigilant, but you're also embarrassed, you said, when you rang your pals.
The shame has to stop because, you know,
this is a rampant, uncontrollable. 100%. It doesn't take any prisoners. Anyway, people 100% know what it is.
Don't wear the mask of shame.
You have an unusual surname, Sarah Jane Suwawe.
Yeah, my husband is from North Africa.
Wow, fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Well,
what's his first name?
Munier.
Well done, Munier. Sarah Jane will get the money together to send you to Ballymaloo at the end of this. But anyway, you're brilliant, Sarah Jane. You're a real good and honourable citizen to be taking all those decisions, even though they're very, very difficult. But well done. That's Sarah Jane Suwawe, who is in a family of eight, herself, her husband, Munia, and the six children. And between jigs and reels, they're all isolating in different parts of the house. And it's going to go on by the looks of it. And that's why Sarah Jane is supporting Level 5. Now, as you know, the GAA... Thanks, Sarah Jane.
Thanks, Joe.
Keep it 51551, wash your hands, joe@rt.ie. Now, the GAA are in serious diffs. There was a report going around last week that a GAA club in Northern Ireland, they won a final. They had parties and apparently 31 out of 33 players alone were tested positive for COVID, and 100 people in the village have COVID-19. And then we had the scenes yesterday which prompted the GAA at lunchtime to say end of, no more club games. Now, Shane Curran. Shane, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
From a well-known Roscommon goalkeeper. Tell us what happened. There was a county final yesterday. The Senior B club, Duro, were awfully Senior B. Go ahead. What happened?
I think, you know, with all this going on, it's hard to just clue in on a few of these things. And there's far more important things than GAA matches and finals and all that type of thing to deal with. But in terms of our own situation, down in Offaly yesterday, in relation to the Senior B final, which preceded the Senior A final, my management team and decided to step away from the game on Saturday night. And the timeline of events, I suppose, really around COVID testing, contact tracing, close contacts, and the positive case that occurred all last week. So just to give a bit of clarity to your listeners and to those listening, what happened was that there was a positive case within the clubs, Ballinamere, Duro.
Okay.
One player was a close contact of that player and was informed on Friday that he had to have a test. That player had his test on Friday and returned a negative test, thank God, on Saturday evening at circa 17:30, around 5:30. In the intervening time, another player, which is, we call him player two for clarity of your listeners, informed me at 1:57 yesterday that he was informed that he was a close contact of the positive test. Mm-hmm. Now, that set in train a whole other set of, I suppose, decisions and communication systems that had to be relayed to the relevant people within the club, also within the county board, the COVID officer, the CCC, and ultimately the board itself. Because that test or that close contact information only came yesterday at 1:57.
That surely should have been the end of it. That surely
really
have been the end of the game. No game.
Again, Joe, I'm not going to get into what it should have been the end of or what it shouldn't have been the end of. I think what the situation that we found ourselves in as a management group and as a club then was that we had to inform, in the absence of clarity on that test, to that player, mm-hmm. and there was no way that player's test could come back before the throw-in of the match following 22 hours.
Yeah.
The decision was made uniformly to inform the county board of the second close contact and that we would request that the game be called off.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was the protocols, that was the procedures, and we ended up then in what would be termed a void in terms of that information getting and being relayed to the county board, the COVID officer, the CCC, over a period of hours. And ultimately, the first player came back with his test negative, which was great. But we still had the other player mm-hmm. that we were really concerned about. And that concern didn't dissipate throughout the day. So, unfortunately, I suppose, the decision came from Offaly County Board that the game was to go ahead and must go ahead the following day. And the decision that us as a management, me as the manager, and my coach Owen Mooney arrived at was that we couldn't, based on our leadership model, attempt to turn up to the game on Sunday. And we informed the club of that decision at 11:15 on Saturday night.
And what was the reaction to your decision? You said I'm not going to participate.
We've got to be very fair to everybody involved here, including Offaly County Board. The club acted in the best possible way possible in relation to the protocols and to the protection of the players. Ultimately, the club decided they didn't want to play, but the players took it on themselves that they were ready, they felt fit and ready to play without the player who was a close contact, the second player. And they went ahead and played the game and won the game. And we're very, very proud of them. We're very, very proud of them. And there's no blame attached to anybody here in this instance. It's the complete lack of clarity.
Okay, it's confusion.
From so many organisations. And if I just may say this, Joe, for your listeners, in relation to COVID, and this is my opinion, and maybe something that I think other people may take on board, there are too many rules, and too many rules get in the way of effective leadership.
Clarity.
And you have many people and many organisations that set rules to keep them from making effective decisions. And the leadership model needs to be changed in relation to this. We can talk about BlackRock and talk about the game yesterday.
Yeah,
these are
sideshow.
Their sideshows in a bigger.
Okay. But what do you think of the GAA unilateral decision today to cancel?
I sit uncomfortably with the GAA on a lot of football things, and my opinions on the GAA and football matters are maybe different in terms of how they run the game and look after weaker counties and all that. Set that aside, I think the GAA, John Horden in particular, as the president of the GAA, has shown themselves to be fantastic leaders in terms of showing leadership in this particular way today.
Okay. So you agree?
All games down. I think it has to be done in the interest of safety and in the interest of protection, not only of the players, but as we've seen, the wider community, appraisal of people involved from our previous listeners and your previous.
And what do you think of moving to level 5, Shane, which is the proposal from NPHET?
Again,
the recommendation, recommendation.
Joe, I'm a 5'8", so I'm an ordinary country fella involved in football teams. Involved in business. I'm a GPO with the ladies, LGFA here in Roscommon. There are many different, as I said, I think there's far too many rules. There's far too much ambiguity. And I think we need effective leadership. And that needs to come from the top, and the top of the government. NPHET, I think, are an organisation of top scientific professionals who provide advice. And the leadership model is a different role altogether. I think that needs to be really clarified, less rules and more decisions, more effective decision making.
And what about more? What about more enforcement?
Again, I think if you have effective leadership, you have effective enforcement. Yeah, okay. And that's the reality. And us, for coaches and managers, we go in with a leadership model, and central to that is the protection of our players. It's the protection of the community,
okay,
the wider community when this comes on.
So the decision today by the GAA is a very clear decision, isn't it?
It's a very, very clear, clear decision, and it removes any ambiguity. And I think also we have to say as well that we have other areas of concern in the community in terms of mental health and all that.
Yeah.
We have to look at ways of which we can get our young people out practicing, out training, be part of particular programs that aren't invasive or do not impact on this particular issue or impacting communities. So we need to look at ways and where we can practice, where we can bring people together in a safe environment. And again, the science and NEFIT and all the scientists will be able to, I think, have a pathway for sport in the future that will allow for some elongation of the competitions. I think the GAA with the intercounty competitions now need to probably look and say, let's not have a defined season, let's elongate it, but let's maybe look at playing our games and keeping people interested in sport vis-a-vis at home if they're cocooning or if they're participating.
Okay, but as of now, all GAA club games at all levels are suspended. Thanks to these, Shane Curran. Shane, good to meet you, Mahogany. 51551, Marchant.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Okay, Jim Kenny is in Blackrock in County Dublin. Jim, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Okay, enforcement of level 3, which didn't happen, which means we're jumping to level 5 and we'll see what enforcement goes on there. What happened in your shop?
Last Friday week, Joe, we had a guy come into the shop about 3:30 in the afternoon. Now, if I can just give you some background on this. Myself, my wife, Kerry, and my two sons, Blaise and Desmond, we've been enforcing the max of 8 people in the shop since the initial lockdown.
Okay.
And we insist upon it. And when the new suggestions came in about wearing face masks, etc., that it was going to become mandatory, we actually enforced that very strictly as well.
Well done.
You do have people coming in who have health issues and will suggest, I can't, and we'll accept that. But on this particular day, a guy came in, he forced his way through a group of 3 children and their mother, going the wrong way around the shop.
Yeah.
And at that point, he turned to the staff member who pulled him up on it and said, look, you need to be wearing a mask in the shop. And he said to her, and it's absolutely horrendous what was said, because this is the worst I've heard. He said, I'll pull you from behind that glass and I'll burst your head off that wall, you dumb F.
Good God.
Unbelievable. Now, we've had a lot of incidents, Joe, over the whole period of COVID. But in actual fact, this was the worst one. But we would have maybe 3 incidents every day. And most of the time, it'll be guys between 20 and 30 years of age. And they're not local, Joe, which is the other kind of worrying thing, because I feel that it's almost like they're being planted in the village.
Do you think he's doing it deliberately?
On this occasion, when I looked at the CCTV, now you've seen it yourself.
Yeah.
I don't think it was done deliberately. I think he just came in. I have no idea. I really don't. It could very well have been deliberate. It was just the ferocity of it was just unreal.
Did you ring the Gardaí?
Oh, straight away, yeah. The reason I rang your show was because I need to stand up for my staff. The 2 girls involved, Anna and Ladine, they've been with me since before COVID.
Yeah.
And they've worked right through COVID. And in fact, Anna, my little yellow belly from Wexford, she actually never got home as such until the first lockdown was cancelled.
Yeah.
She was the person at the centre of this attack. But the other staff members, when they heard about it, they were just so frustrated, so upset about it. I mean, I'm still upset about it because, I mean, I've got two assets in this shop. I've got my customers and we have our staff, you know. You need to, we all need to stand up for them, you know. And in that respect, Joe, I actually think the government need to come stronger with more legislation so that we as shop owners can actually legally refuse somebody entry into the shop and control our own premises as such, you know. And we're not getting those strong guidelines from the government. We need to, though. Absolutely.
And like, I don't know who was saying it. Was it Tomás Ryan or Sam McConkey? Like, the abuse, for example, of bus drivers.
Yes.
And there are invariably one person operated bus. So bus drivers have to put up with someone gets on with a mask. And I think it was Sam or Tomás or whatever was saying, what that bus driver should do is just simply drive to the nearest Garda station.
Yeah.
And stop outside the Garda station until the Gardaí come out and deal with that person who is breaking the regulations. And the regulations have legal enforcement at this stage, but for some reason the Gardaí don't seem to be willing. I'm sure some of them are to enforce them. I know it's difficult. Okay.
That's where I'm coming from, Joe. I mean, there needs to be strong legislation from the government.
But remember, there was a march on Saturday in the centre of Dublin up to, I didn't see it, but the report.
Diabolical.
Not wearing masks on top of each other, but also on top of people who do wear masks and want to wear masks and do believe that the people who are being buried from COVID have died of COVID.
Yeah,
but there's no. Someone's now telling me it was 2,000 people. There's no vaccine for stupidity, is there? Jim Kenny, thanks. Gillian McNulty, Gillian, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How
are you? You're in a very difficult situation because of cystic fibrosis and all its all the things that unfortunately have come with it: diabetes, asthma, and I know your kidneys are in trouble as well. What do you think of what's up? What do you think of level 5, Gillian?
Before I even start, Joe, I will say I'm at the dialysis now.
Okay.
And sometimes the machines tend to beep, so if the beep just pass, no heed.
Okay, no worries.
But I think level 5 is needed, and it's needed pronto. I mean, people are not complying, and I understand people are frustrated. This has gone on a long time. I mean, originally we all thought it was going to be 3-4 weeks, and here we are months later.
Yeah.
So I can understand the frustration. I'm frustrated, but people, in order to nip this, we need to bunch together and try and get rid of this virus for once, because I've always lived my life kind of shielding from people, crowds. I've always worn a mask, always with the hands, always cough, sneeze etiquette. But I'm now absolutely petrified. Like, people are now living the lives that CF people have lived for centuries. The fact that people are continuing to ignore the guidelines.
But isn't that the problem, Gillian? That the house parties, people spending, dancing on the street, having parties on the street. Everyone's afraid. That's what humanity is about, is our social interaction. But the problem at the minute is leisure. It's not the schools. It's not the restaurants. It's not the education system that's collapsing the country in terms of going into stage 5. It's invariably social activities where there's drink involved. Where there's drink involved, and there's no limitation on the sale of drink at the minute. There is obviously legally about age and all that kind of. There's no limitation in terms of time. And it's where that's happening, and that's not being enforced. It's not being enforced.
It needs to be enforced. I think if they brought enforcement in at stage 3, then we may not be jumping to stage 5. I think it's about time they brought in enforcement, because I think at the end of the day, that's the only thing that's going to make people sit up and listen. Well, I hope, anyway. I mean, I can't imagine us going on like this at Christmas, the new year. Yeah. I just want all this to be over.
But one of the tragedies is, Gillian, and is that this, you have lived through this type of trying to stay away from infection for years, for your life, your lifetime, as has everyone else with CF. And now this makes it much worse and much more dangerous.
It's even scary now, because I almost died at Christmas. I almost died 4 months ago. I was in a wheelchair. I was on oxygen. And I'm here because I was lucky enough to get compassionate access to a drug that saved my life.
Mm.
I don't want to be taken out by COVID because people are too selfish to obey the guidelines. You know, my life was hard fought for. And people need to remember, people like me, and there's so many others like me and the older generations that are going to suffer and are going to die from COVID. I mean, I think if there was a disease that or a virus that was killing young people, the older generation would sacrifice whatever they need to sacrifice to save their lives.
Yeah.
And people, they just don't get it. They don't care because they're healthy. And that's great that you're healthy and you don't need to worry, because chances are you are going to be fine. But it's medically vulnerable people and the older generation that aren't going to be fine. More people are going to die from this the longer that people are flaunting the guidelines.
Just stay listening to Vincent for a sec, Gillian, because he's in many ways backing up what you're saying. Vincent's in Mayo. You say you're a taxi driver. You've been onto the National Transport Authority. What are they saying to you, Vincent, about screens and masks?
Yeah, well, I've been on the NTA since a month before the restaurants opened. That would have been in the middle of June, I suppose. And I organised my own screen to come down from Dublin and fit it in myself. And the NTA, I was on to the NTA long a couple of weeks before that, and they asked me, they said it's on the website, still on the website, the same position, that it's not mandatory to wear masks in a taxi for the driver or the passenger in the front.
And what about those screens? Are they mandatory?
No, they're not, no. It's up to each driver to decide themselves if they want to put the screen in or not. Now, at the beginning, all the insurance companies were not too keen, but my insurance company, AXA, they came to the plate and they said that you could put them in and that you would be covered if someone banged their head up against it. But it's not. But what I have the problem with is that it's not mandatory. And what I've seen since the restaurants open and since the pubs open nearly 2 weeks now, I've seen it getting worse and worse every night.
Well, what have you seen?
Well, I've seen the bouncers no mask on the door going in and going out. I've seen them shaking hands with the customers coming out. I've seen people coming out at the one time and they all head up then to the two major places where they would get food, place wedged to the door. Now the guards are coming down and they're trying to organise it, but the guards themselves, there's only a certain amount in every night that's on duty. And you know, on a Saturday night now there would be more on duty on a Saturday night, but with the pubs closing at the one time, you have people coming out. But then you have people like I there last Saturday night now. There was two customers that asked me out of it because I wouldn't let them in the front seat. There was four of them, and I told them one of them would have to have a mask because I had a mask on me because there was four of them trying to get in. But I told him no way, and the language that he gave, and he went off to the next car. But this taxi driver's then no mask, no screen, and then when people get into my car when I pick them up from houses, they say, oh, this is a great job. And then they ask me the question, but I was in the taxi last night, they don't have it. Why are they breaking the law? I says, no, it's not mandatory. But what I found now the last couple of weeks is that the town will be clear about 1 o'clock. You wouldn't see a sinner on the streets. Okay. Everything is closed. But from that time until about 7 a.m, all I'm doing is bringing people one house to the other or bringing someone into a house to pick up more drink and go back to the same house. So house parking, it's house. Because what NEFA is looking for level 5. It's end of the day. It's the people's own fault. At the end of the day.
And what do you think of going to level 5, Vincent? I don't think it will go to level five.
I'd say they'll probably go for between level three and level four. But the main thing they have to deal with is the supermarkets, because it's all right you saying the pub like in Ballina now.
The supermarkets for what? For sale of drink, is it?
Yeah, well, a lot of the pubs in Ballina they're doing a good show. Like there's pubs and you ring in and they have your table and you don't move from that table. Now there's other pubs. There's other pubs that are not as good at doing the regulation. But at the end of the day is people are leaving at 10 o'clock at night, or they're leaving the pub at 11 or 11:30. They're going back to house parties, but then when they run out of drink, they're going to someone else's house. I drop them, bring them up, bring them back with the drink, and off goes the party again. Like, you know, I know people would go mad if the alcohol was stopped in supermarkets, but as it is now, it's you know, the numbers are spreading, and like the NTA, it's on their website. And I got Derek Leary to put questions into the minister for transport, and the letter he came back was, just look at the website, the same information, the same role. Well, I just can't understand it. Simple as that.
Level four is pretty draconian as well. Okay, the 5K isn't in there, but you cannot have visitors to your home. You should not meet socially in other settings. Only essential workers should go to work. Do not travel outside your county, which is Dublin at the minute. Schools, creches and outdoor play areas remain open with restrictive measures. People over 70 and people who are medically vulnerable should avoid public transport, shop during designated hours and limit their interactions to a small number of people. Visits to nursing and care homes gone. Public transport can operate with a capacity restricted to 25%. And it goes on and on and on. Anyway, Gillian, you stay safe and fingers crossed. Gillian, are you in? Where are you doing your dialysis? St. Vincent's?
In St. Vincent's, across the road, yeah.
That's where I met you the last time. And I was giving out to you because when I went in to see you, you were coming out to help someone fix a car. You brat. Okay, Gillian, stay safe, darling. Won't you mind yourself? You're great. You're a great person. You've come through an awful lot and you're a great campaigner for the cystic fibrosis community. 51551, wash your hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Banat, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You're listening to Gillian there. Go ahead. Your situation, Banat.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I suppose I have cystic fibrosis too, and I would absolutely echo, I suppose, everything Gillian said. I suppose I've been cocooning since February and, I suppose, you know, trying to protect myself, obviously, from, I suppose, the current pandemic. And I suppose, personally, I'd be very much welcoming, you know, the level 5 restrictions. I suppose with cystic fibrosis, we have a weakened immune system anyway. So I suppose we'd be at risk to picking up anything, like even as little as a flu or a head cold. So I suppose, because of the recent development, I suppose, on the recommendations, I suppose, these are something which is something that I suppose I personally think is something we would really benefit from, you know. I know many are kind of, you know, worried economically wise, but I suppose from a health perspective and a medically vulnerable perspective, I would absolutely be welcoming, you know, any recommendation, whether it's level 4 or 5 or whichever, you know, I definitely highly would be, you know, recommending it.
Okay, I'm pronouncing your name as you spell it, but you go by Bennett, I'm told.
Bennett, that's okay. Right.
But so Bennett, but effectively, people with CF have been in level 5 anyway, haven't they? They've had
absolutely.
To.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose, as we have recently been seeing all these house gatherings, we have, but other people haven't been. And I suppose it's trying to get everyone on the same level. Because like that, you know, between people not socially distancing, people not wearing masks, you know, it's putting our life at risk. And like Gillian said, you know, we've been practicing this even before COVID-19 in terms of, you know, with CF, in terms of hand hygiene and everything. So I suppose it's now trying to put out the messagery that we need to protect those like ourselves who are at risk. And, you know, if we did catch COVID, you know, the reality is we could potentially die. Like, it is that. Yeah, and I suppose... You know, trying to echo that message is that this is very serious for us, and we need to, I suppose, take it seriously. And if the government and NPHET, you know, agree and recommend level 5, I think we should respectfully, you know, take the decision on board.
And as you say, you're for CF people with cystic fibrosis, it's already there. It's just trying to move it across to other people to remind them of how awful this virus is and the damage, the terminal damage it can do to people. Bennett,
absolutely.
thanks indeed, and stay safe.
Thank you.
That's Bennett. Frank.